Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Masechet Shabbos Daf Ayin. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara presents three different sources for the concept of chiluk malachos, that one is liable as separate chatas for transgressing each malacha, even if all the malachas that he had done occurred during one halama, during one forgetting, which means that in the case where one forgot that it was Shabbos and had then transgressed more than one malacha and then remembered that it was Shabbos, he'll be liable for a chatas for each malacha. One of the sources, Rabbi Nassim, learns it from the Pasuk, L'savar o'esh b'chol mishvosechem b'yom Shabbos. You shall not kindle a fire in all your dwellings in Shabbos. The reason kindling a fire was singled out, even though it's included in the general prohibition against performing malacha, is to teach that just as kindling is an av malacha, and one is liable for violating it, so too one is liable separately for violating each av malacha. And point number two, Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Nassim that the pasuk of Lo Savaro Eish, you shall not kindle a fire, was singling out the malach of kindling to teach chiluk malachas. Instead, he holds like Rabbi Yossi in a brisa that says, L'lav yatzas. Kindling was singled out to be a mere prohibition, meaning it was singled out to teach that for transgressing the malach of kindling, one is only subject to malchus, to lashes, not skila, not stoning. And point number three, Rabbi Yossi B'Vachini expounds on the two mems in the pasuk that introduces the various chatas offerings, va'asa ma'achas mehina, and he will do from one of them. The word achas alone would have taught that one is only liable for the malach of kosev, of writing, if one writes the complete word that he intended to write. Ma'achas, from one, teaches that one is liable for carrying out just part of one's intention, such as writing just shin mem from the name Shimon. The word heina would have implied that one is only liable for transgressing an av malacha. Mahena teaches that one is liable for transgressing a tolda as well. So once again, point number one, the Gemara presents three different sources for the concept of chiluk malachos, that one is liable as separate chatas for transgressing each malacha, even if all the malachas he had done occurred during one halama, one forgetting, which means that in a case where one forgot that it was Shabbos and had then transgressed more than one malacha, and then remembered that it was Shabbos, he will be liable for a chatas for each malacha. One of the sources is Rabbi Nassim, who learns it from the pasuk, L'savaro eish b'chol mishvosechem b'yom Shabbos. You shall not kindle a fire in all your dwellings on Shabbos. The reason kindling a fire was singled out, even though it is included in the general prohibition against performing malacha, is to teach that just as kindling is an av malacha, and one is liable for violating it, so too one is liable separately for violating each av malacha. Point number two, Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Nassim that the pasuk, L'savaro eish, you shall not kindle a fire, was singling out the malacha of kindling to teach chiluk malachas. Instead, he holds like Rabbi Yossi in a brisa that says, L'lav yatzas. Kindling was singled out to be a mere prohibition, meaning it was singled out to teach that for transgressing the malacha of kindling, one is only subject to malchus, for lashes, not skila, stoning. And point number three, Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi expounds on the two mems in the pasuk that introduces the various chatas offerings, va'asa ma'achas mehina, and he will do from one of them. The word achas alone would have taught that one is only liable for the malach of kosev, for writing, if one writes the complete word that he intended to write. Ma'achas teaches that one is liable for carrying out just part of one's intention, such as writing shin mem from the name Shimon. The word heina would have implied that one is only liable for transgressing an av malacha. Mehina teaches that one is also liable for transgressing a tolda as well. All right, so now we're going to go to the siman. And once again, I received a lot of great suggestions for Ayin. I had 70 elders, 70 nations, 70 wolves representing the 70 nations. Of course, many people suggested eyes. I'm actually going to go with a creative takeoff on eyes. This comes by way of Yehuda Friedman from Lakewood and Adam Adas from Brooklyn, the one-eyed cyclops. The one-eyed cyclops for Ayin. So thank you, Yehuda and Adam. And that'll be our siman. So here goes. The cyclops stomped around town, checking to make sure no one was kindling fires in their dwelling places on Shabbos and reminding people they can't write a shin mem for Shimon. Once again, in slow motion. The cyclops, that means we're on Duff, Ayin. The cyclops stomped around town, checking to make sure no one was kindling fires in their dwelling places on Shabbos, which reminds us, the Gemara presents three different sources of the concept of chiluk malachas, that one is liable as separate chatzos for transgressing each malacha, even if all the malachas that he had done occurred during one forgetting, which means that in the case where one forgot that it was Shabbos and had then transgressed more than one malacha and then remembered that it was Shabbos, he'll be liable for a chatas for each malacha. One of the sources brought by Rabbi Nassim, who learns it from the pasuk, You shall not kindle a fire in all your dwellings on Shabbos. The reason kindling a fire was singled out, even though it is included in the general prohibition against performing melacha, is to teach that just as kindling is an av melacha, and one is liable for violating it, so too one is liable separately for violating each av melacha. So the Cyclops stomped around town, checking to make sure no one was kindling fires in their dwelling places on Shabbos, which also reminds us, Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Nassim that the pasuk of Vosavaro Eish, you shall not kindle a fire, was singling out the melacha of kindling to teach chiluk melachas. Instead, he holds like Rabbi Yossi in a brisa that says, lo'lav yatzas, kindling was singled out to be a mere prohibition, meaning it was singled out to teach that for transgressing the melacha of kindling, one is only subject to malchus, lashes, not skila, not stoning. So the Cyclops stomped around town, checking to make sure no one was kindling fires in their dwelling places on Shabbos, and reminding people they can't write a shin mem for Shimon. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi ben Bechini expounds on the two mems in the pasuk that introduces the various chatas offerings, v'asa ma'achas mehena, and he will do from one of them. The word achas alone would have taught that one is only liable for the malach of kosev writing if one writes the complete word that he intended to write. Ma'achas teaches that one is liable for carrying out just part of one's intention, such as writing shame from Shimon. The word heina would have implied that one is only liable for transgressing an av melacha. Mehena teaches that one is liable for transgressing a tolda as well. So once again, the siman is, the Cyclops stomped around town, checking to make sure no one was kindling fires in their dwelling places on Shabbos, and reminding people they can't write a shin mem for Shimon. All right, so now it's time for our four blot back Hazara. Daf Samach Vav. So the siman for Samach Vav is sewing, and we have a tailor sewing. So here goes. The amputee tailor, that means we're on Daf Samach Vav. The amputee tailor with a wooden shoe full of rags, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated regarding a wooden shoe worn by amputees, Im yesho beis kibul kasisin tame, if it has a receptacle for rags for him to put his leg on top of, then it can be makabel tuma. There's a machlokas amarayim, if it's makabel tumas midras, a tuma acquired by an object used with the intention to support one's weight, whether through sitting, lying, standing, or leaning. Tumas only transmitted this way from someone who became tummy as a result of a bodily emission, such as a zav, or nida. Abaya holds that it's not makabel tumas midras, since its primary purpose is to disguise the fact the person is missing a foot, not to support his weight. He brings a proof from a brisa that states that a walking stick is not makabel tuma, even though it's sometimes used to support one's weight. Rava holds that the wooden shoe is makabel tumas midras, even though its primary purpose is not to support one's weight. He brings a proof from a child's wagon that can be makabel tumas midras, even though it's only used occasionally to bear the child's weight. So the amputee tailor with a wooden shoe full of rags tied his one shoe strap on his son's left arm, which reminds us the Mishnah on Amud Bey states, Habanim Yotzim Beksharim. Young boys may go out on Shabbos with knots. The Gemara explains that these knots are the ones that Avin Bar Huma spoke about in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guria. He said that to comfort a son who yearns after his father who's parting from him, the father should take a strap from his own right shoe and tie it around the boy's left arm. The Gemara adds that it would be dangerous and potentially plunge the son into melancholy if the father were to do the opposite and take the strap from his left shoe and tie it around his son's right arm. So the amputee tailor with a wooden shoe full of rags tied his one shoe strap on his son's left arm and told him to recite incantations in his mother's name while he was away. Which reminds us, Abai shares a few rules his adopted mother taught him about incantations. All incantations are recited with the name of the person's mother. Any incantations that are clearly stated to be repeated a set number of times should be repeated according to that number. And any incantation that's not stated about how many times it should be repeated should be repeated 41 times. Daf Samach Zayin. So the simon for Samach Zayin is sizzling. We think of a barbecue. So here goes. The simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments when he sizzled meat on the barbecue. Sizzling meat on a barbecue, that means we're on Daf Samach Zayin. The simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments, which reminds us that Gemara wants to know who the Tana is of the Mishnah, on Daf Samach Vav and Beis, who state that even commoners may wear ornate bells typically worn by the elite, and is not concerned that they may take them off and carry them due to the rights of commons from others, or remove them to show them off to a friend. Rav Oshi has said that it's Rabbi Shimon, who states in a later Mishnah, Kol Yisrael b'nei malachim hem, all Jews are like princes. And Rashi explains that even a poor Jew feels comfortable wearing princely adornments and will not be fazed by derisive comments nor take them off to show a friend. Rava said that the Mishnah is referring to a case where the bells were sewn into the garments, and therefore even concurs with the opinion of the Rabbanan, who do not hold that all Jews are considered like princes. So the simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments when he sizzled meat on the barbecue, wearing a fox tooth around his neck to improve his memory, which reminds us, the Mishnah introduces a machlokas regarding going out on Shabbos with various talismans worn for healing, such as locust eggs, a fox tooth, and a nail from a gallows that was used. Rav Meir permits them if they're worn for healing. Chachamim prohibit using them even during the week because of Darkei Mori. Rashi explains that they are magic and one would be transgressing. Do not follow their customs, referring to the Kananim. Abaya and Rava rule in accordance with Rav Meir that any practice that has healing benefits is not prohibited, even if it is an Amorite practice. So the simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments when he sizzled meat on the barbecue, wearing a fox tooth around his neck to improve his memory, and stop him from being Mechal Shabbos numerous times, b'shogeg. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the 7th parak Kol Gadol identifies how many chatas offerings one would bring for multiple transgressions on Shabbos done b'shogeg, inadvertently. If one were completely unaware of the concept of Shabbos, he would bring one chatas for all the malachas he ever performed. If one knew about Shabbos but lost track of which day was Shabbos and did many malachas on each of the subsequent Shabbosim, he brings one chatas for each Shabbos. If one knew about Shabbos and which day was Shabbos and inadvertently did many malachas on many Shabbosim, he's liable to bring a chatas for every malacha he performed. And if one performs many toldos of one of malacha, he's only liable for one chatas. Daf Samaches. So the simon for Samaches is schach. So here goes. The massive sukkah with the giant schach. Schach, that means we're on Daf Samaches. The massive sukkah with the giant schach, a nickname Kol Gadol, which reminds us. The Gemara asks why the Tana of the Mishnah introduces the laws he mentions with the word Kol Gadol. This is a major rule. After suggesting two reasons which are rejected based on the use of Kol Gadol in the laws of Shvi'is and Maestras, the Gemara concludes that Kol Gadol is used when the application of the prohibition in one area is broader than others. So Shabbos law is broader than Shvi'is because it applies to detached and attached produce, where Shvi'is only applies to attached produce. Shvi'is is broader than Maestras since it applies to both human and animal food, whereas Maestras only applies to human food. And Maestras is broader than Peah laws because it also applies to figs and vegetables, whereas Peah does not. So the massive sukkah with the giant schach, a nickname called Gadol, was packed with joyous tinuk shenishbos and gerim, which reminds us that there's a machlokes amoraim regarding the rule pertaining to a tinuk shenishba ben anachrim, a child captured and raised amongst Gentiles, as well as ger shenisgayer ben anachrim, a Gentile converted and lived among the Gentiles, who never were aware of the concept of Shabbos. Rav and Shmuel hold that they're like one who recognizes Shabbos and eventually forgot it, and they're therefore liable to bring a single chatas for all their chilul Shabbos. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish hold that they're exempt from having to bring a chatas. Rashi explains that Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish hold that Omer Mutter Anusu, one who mistakenly believes that something prohibited is permissible, is not responsible for his actions. Therefore, in these cases, in which they never learned about Shabbos, they're considered an anus and not a shogeg, and therefore they don't bring a chatas. So the massive sukkah with the giant schach, a nickname Kol Gadol, was packed with joyous tinuk shenishbos and gerim, who just heard they were exempt from bringing any chatas, according to a Tana called Munbaz. Which reminds us, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish based their opinion on Munbaz, a Tana, who stated in a braisa that a tinuk shenishba and a ger who converted and lived among the Gentiles are exempt from bringing a chatas for any chilul Shabbos. Munbaz learned a hekesh between one who does an act b'shoigeg and one who does an act b'mezid from the juxtaposition of the pasuk, Torah achas yihil lechem o'ose b'shkaga, there shall be a single law for you, for one who acts with inadvertence, to the pasuk asher tasa b'yad rama, but a person shall act high-handedly. He learns from this that just as one who transgresses intentionally had knowledge of the transgression, so too the inadvertent transgressor, who is required to bring a chatas, had knowledge of the prohibition. Hence, both the tinuk shenishba and the ger, who had no prior knowledge of the prohibition, are exempt from bringing a chatas. Daf samachtes. So the sim for samachtes is chimney soot. So here goes. The chimney sweep covered in soot. Soot, that reminds us we're on Daf samachtes. The chimney sweep covered in soot got lost in the desert and didn't know which day was Shabbos. So he counted 6 days, which reminds us there's a Malchokas Amorayim regarding what one does if he's walking on the way in the desert and doesn't know which day is Shabbos. Rav Huna said he counts 6 days and observes the 7th day as Shabbos. He holds that a person should count like the creation of the world in which there were 6 days before Shabbos. Chiya Bar Rav said he first observes one day as Shabbos and then counts 6 days as weekdays. He holds a person should count like Adam, just as Adam was created on a Friday and the next day was Shabbos, so too the person should count the next day as Shabbos followed by 6 weekdays, but his opinion is refuted. So the chimney sweep covered in soot got lost in the desert and didn't know which day was Shabbos. So he counted 6 days, made Kiddush and Havdalah, which reminds us, Rava states two halakas regarding the case when someone traveling doesn't know which day is Shabbos. The person can only work on the 6 days to provide enough sustenance to stay alive. The Gemara asks how the person is supposed to survive on Shabbos with no food and revise halakha that he can also work on Shabbos and distinguish the day from the others via Kiddush and Havdalah. And secondly, if the person remembers how many days ago he left, but doesn't remember what day of the week it was, he can perform malacha on that entire day. He cannot assume, though, that he didn't travel on Erev Shabbos, giving him 2 days to do malacha, since sometimes the caravan is available and a person will depart on a Friday. So the chimney sweep covered in soot got lost in the desert and didn't know which day was Shabbos. So he counted 6 days, made Kiddush and Avdallah, and hoped the Rabbanan would consider him a shogeg. Which reminds us, there's a machlokes on the rhyme regarding what qualifies as a shogeg to be liable to chatas according to the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that one is considered a shogeg if he was unaware that the punishment was karis, even though he acted b'mezid. Reish Lakish holds that one is only considered a shogeg if he was unaware that the act was prohibited and had the penalty of karis. All right, so now we conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here goes number 1. Which daf do we learn why the Tani used the phrase klal gadol? That's on daf Samaches. Great. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that one does not have to write the whole name to be over on the malacha of kosev? That's on daf Ayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we have the malchokas? Whether there's maris ayin, afil b'chadri chadarim, that's on daf Samachdal. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have the question if a kameya has kedusha? That's on daf Samachal. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we have a shita that says lo savaru eish is lo lav yatsa? So you're not chayev achatas for lo savaru eish. That's on daf Ayin. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that a person can wear a gold tuf on Shabbos because he's not going to take it off because of embarrassment? That's on daf Samachay. Great. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that Mumbaz exempts a tinuk shenishba for bringing a chatas? That's on daf Samaches. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we discuss what one should do if they're out in the desert and they know which day is Shabbos? That's on daf Samach Tes. Great. Number 9. Which daf do we have the question whether it's Tumas Midras for an amputee's wooden shoe? That's on daf Samach Vav. Good. And finally, question number 10. Which daf do we have the question if weapons are a takshitin or ganai? That's on daf Samach Gimel. Great. Now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which daf do we learn about Moshe's defense of Bnei Israel for the Chet Ha'egel? That's on daf Lamed Beis. Great. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that one should relieve himself before davening if he can't wait 72 minutes? That's on daf Chav Gimel. Great. Number 3. Which daf do we have all the different improper ways one could say Amen? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Great. That concludes our pop quiz and the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Gold from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.